welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, Raylene, and...
me, Ariel.
Hey! So, for the people at home, they're probably wondering how you're doing after your fall into the well.
Oh, you're right. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. So it has been like exactly a week, basically, yeah, since I fell. And so if you recall, I really scraped up my leg. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the most dramatic of the injuries. And I actually sent Raylene a very compromising photo because it's like, it's my upper thigh, kind of my butt. Yeah. And it's just like, I had to send it because I was like, you've got to look at this cut. But yeah. I was like, yeah. Also, lol. Yeah, feel free to delete that. But yeah, it was a pretty dramatic scrape, but it is doing great. Like, it is very, healing over and everything. God. I will say the first night especially was so brutal. I could not sleep. I just was so uncomfortable, mm-hmm. You know, like everything hurt and I couldn't lay on the side I usually lay on, or like it was so uncomfortable. Couldn't sleep. And then at 3 a.m., it was like an angel visiting. At 3 a.m., Max just was on the bed. And my cat, well, she's my mom's cat, but Max, she is like, I don't know how she knows. I think it's like kind of a cat thing. But do you feel like cats kind of know when you're sad?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So understand. I think she knew that I needed love. And she just came in and she laid on me and she cuddled me. But it was crazy because we always close our door when we go to bed. Yeah. And I don't know how we didn't close the door. Like, I guess we just forgot.
Or maybe in a trance, you were slightly asleep and didn't realize you let her in.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no idea how she got in, but she cuddled me, which was really nice. And that is one of the definitive moments I remember about this whole affair.
Yeah.
Me and Max hanging.
That's so cute.
But no, I've gotten so much better every day. And my arm is still kind of sore. I think this is so dumb, but when I fell off the balcony, yeah, I really messed up this arm, uh-huh, like to the point where I think I might have sprained it. And then this fall that I've just done into the well, mm-hmm, was only like 2 months-ish after. That's so I don't true. Know if it had like fully was healed or whatever, because it felt like the same pain. So I think I just kind of re-injured the same arm and it's like a little sore. But no, I'm doing great. I feel good. It was also, it just came, I mean, is there ever a good time to fall? But it came at the worst time because I had all of these deadlines I was trying to reach. And so it's really funny. In the video I posted on my channel where I wallpaper the room, mm-hmm, the day where I'm wallpapering, the tone of the video is very different. I'm like very quiet and kind of like goofy because I'm like, I'm out of it. And it was the morning after I fell.
Oh, geez.
But I couldn't not wallpaper that room because I had to edit the video and post it. So I was like, I've just got to wallpaper through the pain. It was like, I felt so pitiful.
Yeah.
I was saying to my friend, I was like, I really feel like a video game character who's like on your last tiny bit of health and you're just sort of limping and pinging, ping, 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 get some life, get some life. I was like, oh, I'm just limping through this day. But no, thank you for asking. I feel great. Definitely feel basically recovered. Yeah, I just have a bit of a scrape now on my thigh.
Yikes.
Let's say my thigh.
Well, that's good to hear. No more falling. You're not allowed to fall anymore.
I'll really
just
try.
Just watch. No, I'll start falling.
No!
I don't know what I would fall into or off of, so I think we're okay. I'm on the ground floor of my apartment building, so I should be fine.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, how are you doing? Anything interesting going on?
Not really. No. As you noted before we started recording, I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt today, so we're getting excited about things potentially cooling down.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I'm wearing a t-shirt, but I'm wearing long sleeve sweatpants.
I'm wearing long sleeve pants too.
Fall is coming.
Yesterday was my first day of wearing sweatpants because it actually kind of rained a little bit yesterday here. And I was like, oh my God, it's happening. Lovely. This is the best day ever. And Kyle and I got pumpkin spice lattes the day before. So it's all kind of coming together. And I lit some candles yesterday to read. Oh, it was glorious. So
that is the
I'm
light.
Starting to feel like the season is in my favor. So I'm feeling happier just automatically because of that. So yeah, other than that, nothing new, nothing crazy. Life's just going on.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's kind of good because I feel like that's what you need. After the last crazy months, the job changing, like there's all of this mania. For you to now just be like, I'm a little bored. It's like, yes.
Yes. No, it's good.
In the best
it's
way.
It's good. Like yesterday, I had a whole bunch of time and I was like, I think I'm going to actually read right now. Like, this is my chance. And so I did.
Yeah, because that's the other weird thing. I don't think I've been reading more than you, but like in some of the episodes, it almost feels that way. And I'm like, something's wrong with the universe because Raylene's too busy to read. What's happening?
It's honestly been kind of messing with my head a little. Like, I'm like, why am I not reading? Like, what's happening? I don't feel like I have that much going on, but I just do. Like, it's
you
just,
do,
there's,
yeah.
there's just no time to read. So this weekend has started me back on the reading train, which I'm really excited about. So speaking of reading, why don't you tell us if you finished anything since last week?
I'm really excited to talk about this.
Ooh.
I've already told you about it because we played Stardew Valley a couple days ago and chatted about
it. And we leaked some podcast information to each other. You know what I watched. I know what you're reading.
It's not a surprise anymore. It's really funny, like, because... like, obviously, Raylene and I are actually best friends in real life. But now that we have this podcast, we have to do this weird thing where we withhold information from each other so that we have more to talk about on the podcast. Anyways, yes. So as I mentioned to you, but as people don't know, I read I'm Glad My Mom Died by Jeanette McCurdy.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
I'm really excited to talk about this. Okay. So allow me for a moment to go off on a little bit of a review here.
Please do.
So this is a perfect storm, right? Why is this book blowing up right now? Mm. It's the perfect combination of elements. Number one, the cover is juicy. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. It's really clean and pristine in an interesting way with the pink and the yellow. Like, it just is so pretty. The way she's holding the urn, her expression, like, it just all the cover is
and title.
We all know that, like, in this age of Instagram and YouTube reviews and stuff, covers really matter. So the cover is perfect. The title.
Mm-hmm.
The title is the most clickbait version of a title imaginable,
it's
right? It's not inaccurate. It's provocative, exactly. Yeah. It's not inaccurate. It's not lying. But it's also obviously, like, really playing into the, like, okay, this is a really good title.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going for the clickbait. And I fully respect it. Like, I think that's another incredible part of it. Thirdly, she's obviously a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people know and love her from her time on iCarly. And so it's kind of this perfect mix of, like, the book already sounds good just on its own, as if anybody else had written it. It already sounds good and provocative. But then you add in that it's a celebrity people really like.
And also, it's since, like, she quit acting, a lot of people have been wondering what's been going on with her, right?
Yes. So. Another great part of you're totally right. And then finally, I would say that right now and in the last few years, like maybe the last 5 years, there's like a growing sentiment of like exposing Hollywood, right? Like,
that.
Some part of it is like the Me Too movement, which is like really serious, or Oscars So White, where it's kind of like, let's talk about these issues that Hollywood have. But then there's also the personal stories of like what individual celebrities have gone through. And I mean, we're always going to be fascinated by what are their lives actually like.
Yeah,
so it makes, it makes so much sense to me why this book is so popular right now. And I actually requested it from my library, and I wanted to pull this up because I actually laughed out loud when I saw this. I have it on holds, right? It says, I'm 917th in line.
Ooh, that's actually really funny because I did the same thing, but mine isn't nearly that bad. I am 32nd in line. It says it'll take approximately 13 weeks for me to get it. So I'm awaiting.
Mine says about 20 weeks. This one's from the Toronto Public Library.
Ooh.
Nobody tell TPL that I'm still using TPL.
You naughty girl.
Connor used to be a librarian there, so I feel, or a library tech there, so I feel like I have, like, benefits. Like, I should, should be allowed to use it forever. You know what I mean? Like, when people work at Disney, they get to go to Disney for free the rest of their lives or whatever.
There you go.
That's, I should be allowed to use TPL because my boyfriend worked there for 2 years.
That all checks out. That makes sense to me. I'll sign your petition.
So I do find it just fascinating and interesting from a marketing kind of perspective, like how this book is really blowing up. Everyone's talking about how it's sold out everywhere. And it makes sense to me kind of on the surface without even having read the book, why those things are happening. And it sucked me in. And so here's something that I kind of want to mention. I didn't know who Jeanette McCurdy was. So I did not go into this book as a fan of her from as a kid. I never saw iCarly. Yeah. I've never seen that show before. I very much watched Lizzie McGuire and then didn't watch more teen shows. I was like, it doesn't get better than Lizzie McGuire. So I never saw Hannah Montana Victorious or iCarly or whatever has come afterwards. So I'm really not aware of her as an actress. I didn't go into this with any preconceived notions about.
That's cool, though. I feel like a lot of people are going into it like that, because I feel like there is, like, the large mass of people who watched iCarly, but then there's all these other people who are, like, older than you and I, who probably never watched it but are still interested.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And so I went into it kind of with a very neutral slate where I was like, well, listen, a lot of people seem to be liking this, so maybe it's a good book, but it's by a celebrity, and we all know that a lot of celebrity books aren't written by the celebrity themselves and stuff. I have to just come out and say, this is one of the best memoirs and just books I've ever read. Whoa. It was so powerful. It was so good. I have shivers right now just thinking about it. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, there was a moment where I actually, like, kind of cried. Like, I teared
Holy
up.
Shit.
It was so sad. It was so beautiful. It was really, it was so well written. So for people who might be like me, because I didn't know anything about Jeanette McCurdy, I didn't know really what the book was going to be about. I just thought, gosh, juicy title. I thought, like, we, and kind of just through osmosis of the internet, have understood, like, her mom was, it seems like she was a little bit abusive and she died of cancer. Okay. Yeah. That was enough to kind of get me in there. So if you're like me and you don't really know, basically Jeanette McCurdy, when she was a little kid, was in a very, what's the best way to put it? In a difficult household growing up. So her mom and her dad, her two brothers, her and her grandparents all lived in one house. But even though they had a house that had like three or four bedrooms or whatever, all of the kids slept in the living room because her mom was a hoarder.
Oh, geez.
So they would sleep on like yoga mats from, I think she said they were from Costco or from Walmart, something like that. Yeah. These like cheap rollout mats that they would sleep on when they could, like, she had a bed, but she couldn't use it because her mom would fill it up with stuff.
Oh, that's
so
stressful.
That just already paints the picture of like where we're starting. That's what she's born into. That's her kind of situation. And then her mom, when she's like, I think she's six. Obviously, just go read the book because I don't remember the exact dates of everything that happened in her life. But like, like around the age of six, she had a conversation with her mom about how her mom had always wanted to be an actress. Her mom had always wanted to be famous. And so her mom kind of manipulated her into making her think it was her dream as well.
Jeez.
Even though Jeanette McCurdy, like, was very shy about all of it, didn't like being on camera, hated auditioning, really disliked the entire process. So that's kind of the starting point of this story. And where it kind of pushes from there is the really toxic relationship that she has with acting and like with fame and with her mom. Her mom from the age when she turned 11, so obviously she's a child actress at this point, and she's acting in like some small movies and stuff like that. Because she's really short, Jeanette McCurdy's really short, she's getting cast as a younger person. Mm-hmm. So if she's like 7, she can play 6 or 5. Or if she's 9, yeah. she can play 6 or 7. And that's like really awesome because people love hiring older actors to play younger actors because you can get the kids to be on set for longer, mm-hmm. right? So she, when she's 11, her boobs start to come in a little bit and she's freaking out because she knows that she only gets hired. Well, she thinks this, but she only gets hired because she's small and childlike. Yeah. So she goes to her mom kind of freaking out and she's like, I really am scared because I think my, like, I'm, you know, this, I'm going to become older. Mm-hmm. Is there anything I can do to stop this or reverse it? Like, not grow up. And her mom's like, well, we could start something called calorie restriction.
Oh, Jesus.
And encourages her daughter into anorexia. And that is another huge part of the book. Like, in fact, most of the second half of the book is about her eating disorders mm-hmm. That all stemmed from this really toxic relationship. Like I said, with fame and acting.
Yeah, like it's all
and intermingled. And with her mom. Like, exactly. It's all intermingled. All of this responsibility she has for making... She's the only one who makes money in her house. So yeah, even though she's 8.
Yeah,
right? I hate that so all much. Of this... I know. All of this pressure to not stop acting even though she hates it because she knows that she's the only one mm-hmm. who can get money for their family and all of these things. She told this story so beautifully. She was very aware, you know, that she had this really tough upbringing, but she also did have a lot of the perks
yeah.
of having a lot of money and being famous and like being invited to cool events and stuff. So she's not like, pity me, I'm rich and famous, but there's a little bit of that, of course, but she's very aware of it. Mm-hmm. She's very, and which was really appreciative. And mainly it just felt like reading the story of someone who had just gone through an absolutely terrible upbringing. It's just horrible. It's horrible, but it's interesting, right? Mm-hmm. It's interesting in that terrible way where you're like, right, this is happening to a lot of children. This oh, exactly. is happening to a lot of people. And especially now that we're in this era of vlogging, even if you're not like on a studio network show, there is all sorts of really weird stuff happening, like of parents vlogging their kids and having mm-hmm. family channels and all that sort of stuff. So it's kind of taking on new eras and it felt very relevant and very interesting, very sad. It really made me think about, obviously last year I read Anne of Green Gables and then this year I read one of like a kind of a mini short biography-ish thing from Lucy Maud Montgomery. Mm-hmm. And do you remember that I think I said it on the pod, but she, on one of the essays, she talks a lot about how she has a rule about never being mean to children.
Oh.
It was someone else I talked to about that, but she has this like experience, Lucy Maud Montgomery has this experience, she talks about how she had gone up to like her uncle or her granddad or something and he had teased her and it had embarrassed her, like it really embarrassed her and made her feel really, really small.
Yeah.
And even now at like 50, when she's writing back, mm-hmm. she still remembers how that pain was truly real.
Totally.
And it's like, just because it's a kid doesn't mean you can't treat like you, that you aren't going to treat it like a human. Mm-hmm. Like it's a full human with feelings and emotions.
Yeah.
And their own life and their own likes and their own wants. And I kept thinking about that and like how Lucy Maud Montgomery wrote this beautiful story of Anne where mm-hmm. it's like a kid who does finally get that love. And then I'm reading a story about Jeanette McCurdy never getting that love and it was just like, I don't know. I made that little literary connection in my brain while I was reading it. But I also listened to the audiobook.
Mm.
And I just want to mention that real quick because if you can get the audiobook, people, get the audiobook. She reads it.
Of course.
So, yeah. Of course, she reads it. And she's does an amazing job narrating it. And there's the part where I kind of cried was because she was reading a part about like later in life going to therapy and some sort of stuff. She was having a bit of an epiphany and her voice broke while recording the audiobook and she had to kind of take a breath and then keep reading the
That's
book.
That's amazing that they kept
it. It was too much.
Yeah.
It was. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, I can't believe they didn't do another take. Or maybe they did do another take, but ultimately they decided to keep the take where she actually kind of her voice breaks. It was, I couldn't handle it because it was already such an emotional part. And I was like making dinner or something. I was like, oh boy. And then her voice breaks and I've got like tears in my eyes. I'm like, oh my God, it's too much. It's too much.
That's kind of how I felt while listening to Crying in H Mart by Michelle Zahner. It's the same kind of thing where it's like you're listening to a person tell their very deep, like deeply personal and tragic story. And it's like, oh, my heart.
Yeah. It just kind of makes you melt. Exactly. Yeah. So it was so good. And one thing like she talked about when she was like 8 or something, she wrote a script.
Oh.
And she took it. She took it to her mom because she loved her mom. She kind of idolized her mom.
Of course, yeah.
In that really kind of toxic, difficult way. But she took it to her mom because she was so proud of it and excited about it and stuff. And her mom was like really rude and dismissive about it. She was like, I don't think you should write. Like, you're not like going to be a very good writer. Like, you're a good actress. What? Like, that's what you're good at. And kind of just completely dismissed that part of her dream. And also was like, also, this is what's it about? And Jeanette McCurdy explained it. And the mom's like, that's literally just The Parent Trap. Oh. So no one's going to buy that. And she was like, she was right. It was The Parent Trap.
Yeah,
like,
still.
You know, I'm 8. I'm 8 or whatever. But it was like, she had these aspirations that were writing and directing. Mm-hmm. She was creative and she did have these cool like things that she wanted to be able to do. But just like all of these systems around her wouldn't let her flourish in the way that she wanted to. And it was just kind of, sort of like, I don't know, this real closing of a loop. The fact that she then wrote this unbelievably fantastic book.
No, that's true.
You know, because I was just like, no, you really are an amazing writer. And I don't know what's going to be next for her, because obviously you can't really just write memoir after memoir. Mm-hmm. Like, once you've written a memoir of your life.
I think she's working on a novel. I think I heard her say that in an interview.
So that would be really cool. I don't know about that. So maybe if she was working on a novel or essays, or if she's going to do more kind of screenplay directing stuff, that could also be interesting. Mm-hmm. But I'm very much like, you can't read this book and not be on her team.
Yeah.
Totally. Like you're listening to it and you're like, okay, I will support you whatever you do. Mm-hmm. Whatever you do for the rest of time.
Yeah. No, I love that.
So yeah, I am just another one of the thousands of people that read that book this week. And I also did kind of want to mention how it's so fun to read a popular book when it's popular.
I know, right?
It feels exciting. It feels juicy.
Yeah.
It feels like I'm part of the conversation.
I know. I when I read it in 13 weeks, it'll be a little less juicy.
I'm sure it'll still be big because there's so many people that are still waiting for it, that are in
it's
the same
true,
position.
Yeah. It's gonna be a train of everybody listening to it and reading it. And then by the end of the year, hopefully we'll all have read it.
Well, I'm also excited that she's gonna make so much money off of this.
Yeah, she deserves that.
I'm like, woohoo! Go Jeanette.
Go Jeanette, go.
So yeah, so there's my review. Really, really liked it. Thought it was just so powerful. And again, once again, proved that I'm into nonfiction.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear about what you're reading next. But I'll quickly go over the book that I finished, much less interesting than the one you read. But I talked about it last week, but I finished Nothing But Blackened Teeth by Cassandra Kaw. Like I mentioned, I was like halfway through it and it's like 180 pages. So I did finish it and it was good. Like it has really low reviews on Goodreads. So I was like, uh-oh, it's going to be terrible. But I actually quite liked it. Like I can see why people don't love it, but I still thought it was enjoyable. And it was fun because it's like about a group of friends who are all in this haunted house. Like they go into it knowing that it's a haunted house. So when things start going sideways, it's almost like they're kind of like, uh-oh. Like we kind of knew this was going to happen, but we also don't really know how to react to it. And so just watching them kind of freak out and try and figure out how to get themselves out of the situation is quite fun, because they're like, okay, there's like a poem over there that might like help us, like let's read the poem and see if we can do what the poem tells us to do and get out of the situation. So they kind of like understand that they're in a horror story, which is great, instead of just being dumb. So it was quite fun. I liked it, and I like that they're like the whole time they're kind of freaking out because they're like, oh my god, we're in a horror situation, this is not good. And it's just quite comical, but also like well done in kind of a spooky way. So
yeah.
So I liked it, and it's definitely put me into the spooky mood. So that's where I'm at right now. I wonder if I'll burn out on horror before it's even Halloween because I'm starting so
early. That's kind of interesting. Yeah, like you started basically at the end of October or August. Yeah. Sorry. Will you make it to October 31st?
We'll see. I have a lot of books that I want to read. I don't know how many I'll get through, but I may be tired by the end of it. I may just want some happiness. I may just want some Anne of Green Gables vibes.
Ugh, yes. I mean, that's still very autumn.
It's true. I know. I'm trying to find if I have any other like autumnal books that aren't spooky so that I can kind of balance it out. I mean, like Dark Academia is kind of another good vibe. So maybe I could into that a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yep. Agree.
Yeah. Well, what are you reading right now?
Great question. So I'm reading one thing, sort of. Like, I just started it yesterday and you were there.
Oh, right.
So yesterday was our live show for our patrons, which we do every month. And it's just like an hour where we hang out, answer questions, and read. Mm-hmm. Well, we try and read. Sometimes we read.
Yeah, it doesn't always happen.
We'll set like a 10-minute timer and we'll all read for 10 minutes and then hang out. But I started Reality Boy by A.S. King. Okay. So there's two reasons that I started this. Number one, it felt like the perfect follow-up to I'm Glad My Mom Died, because obviously that is a book all about a young person going through fame and how that affects them and their relationship with their parents, etc. Reality Boy by A.S. King is about a boy who I think is going to turn 17. Because he mentioned his birthday is coming up. Ooh. Like he's 16 and he's like about to turn 17. So he's a teenager who, when he was a kid, when he was 5, he was on one of those cringy reality television shows where they bring in a British nanny. You know exactly what I'm talking about, totally. Right? Like those cringy shows where they're like, these kids are out of control and the parents don't know how to raise them. We need to bring in British nanny, like like a Mary Poppins Nanny McPhee figure to set them straight. So he was like on one of these TV shows as a kid. And clips of him being very violent and angry went super viral. In the way that it's like, haha, look at this 5-year-old being a loon. And he's like, you know, people probably thought, at least my kid's not that bad, or like, wow, look, imagine if your kid was this bad. Like, that's why the clips kind of went so viral and everything. But now he's 17.
Yeah.
And now kids at high school make fun of him for this. When he's out and about, people recognize him from that. And he's got a bit of a dysfunctional family as well. I'm only on page 20, so that's kind of all I can say about it so far. But I love reading A.S. King. Like, I'd kind of forgotten just how good she is.
Totally. She's easy to fall back into.
Yeah, she's so readable.
Yeah.
When I imagine her writing, I imagine it just like flowing out of her, because it doesn't feel like edited in that like overly specific way. It just feels like a conversation, kind of. Yeah, very easy to read. So really enjoying it. It's a little stressful, but the other reason, I said there was two reasons I picked this up. The other reason is because it is one of the books on my No More BS TBR.
Oh my God, you're tackling it now. This is number 3,
right? September.
You got to get going.
There's 7 books on that list. I'll pull it up. I have it right here. I have read 2 of them now. That's the awesome. Alpine Path, which I read in the spring. And Death in Her Hands, which we read a week or two ago. Yeah. So the ones that are remaining are Reality Boy, which I've now started, The Best Laid Plans by Terry Follis, The Spinning Heart by Donal Ryan, A Beautifully Foolish Endeavor by Hank Green, and Down and Out in Paris and London by George Orwell.
Wow.
So
I forgot what was on your list completely.
That. I'm glad I reread it. The list is still good. Like, I still want to read all of these. So I'd really lost faith in myself and in the list when I'd only read The Alpine Path. But now that I've also read Death in Her Hands, I'm like, well, now we've got 2 out of 7.
Yeah.
Maybe I can just keep going. If I just read 1 or 2 of these basically a month for the rest of the year, I will totally achieve it.
Absolutely.
So that's the other reason why I started this one out. But the other thing that I want to just mention is that I also want to start an audiobook. Because I've been having such success with audiobooks in the last few weeks that I want to keep the habit going. I don't want to stop. Okay. I'm like, if I don't start one like today or tomorrow, I'm scared that this will just sort of slip away and I will forget about audiobooks for another year.
Yeah, can't do that.
So I don't know what I'm going to start yet. I'll have to let you know next week.
Oh, that's fun. I actually just got a notification from the library that an audiobook came in for me that is actually perfect for fall. So I think I'll probably start this one today. The Final Girl Support Group by Grady Hendrix, which was recommended to us by Colleen.
Yes, totally.
Who we recently had on. Yeah, so I'm like, whew, it's 14 hours long, which is quite long, but that's okay because I want to get into crafting. I don't think I mentioned this on the podcast. It was on the live show, but I've started getting back into my knitting project that I started last year. Woo! So I may talk about that a bit more in the future. But yeah, I'm getting back into crafting, and audiobooks are perfect for that because obviously it's a little bit better than watching a show because I don't have to look up from my crafting in order to keep listening and crafting at the same time. So yeah.
Yeah.
So that may be a book that I get into. But I haven't really been listening to audiobooks at all. Usually I'm always listening to an audiobook, but recently I just haven't been. I don't know. That's why I haven't been reading at all. Like, I haven't been sitting down to read, but I also haven't been listening to audiobooks, so it's just like a wasteland.
I feel like this is what I'm talking about. I feel like you have to keep the routine going.
Yeah.
Like, you can't forget about audiobooks or the audiobooks forget about you.
Exactly. Yeah, like lately I've just been listening to like a podcast instead, or just listening to nothing. And I'm like, wow, I could have read so many books in the past few weeks if I would have just, you know, put on an audiobook for 20 minutes here and there.
Do you have any idea what audiobook you want to start? Well, what was the one that that just came in for the library?
The Final Girls Support
Group. The Final Girls one.
Right, yeah, right. So I think I'll probably definitely start that one next. But I don't know what's next up on the docket for me, because I haven't really, like, when I'm listening to audiobooks, I spend a lot of time looking through audiobooks on the Libby app to, like, figure out what I want to listen to next, what I want to put on hold, but I haven't been doing that.
Yes.
So I need to, like, get myself back into audiobooks as a whole. It's a whole system that I've just been ignoring. So I will start listening to the Grady Hendrix book and see where it takes me from there.
It's really funny that you say that, because I actually just did that last night.
Oh yeah.
I asked for a bunch of books from the library, and they're all like 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 10 weeks or whatever. One of them that I asked for was that Jane Austen biography that I just got. And it says I have to wait 4 weeks.
Sometimes it goes faster, though, because sometimes people give will up pass or on them or whatever. So
Yeah.
It sometimes works out for you.
Well, there you go. So we're trying to get back into audiobooks. It does feel like a very appropriate thing for kind of the fall and winter, like doing crafts and audiobooking at the same time.
Exactly. It's a good vibe. So I'm excited to get back into that. But I'm also actually reading a book, so I will talk about that.
Oh, good.
You know about this already because of yesterday, but anyway.
Right.
So I'm reading Bunny by Mona Awad, which I am so excited to finally be reading. I'm borrowing this from my friend. So once again, not tackling my actual TBR of horror books, but you know, I'll get there soon. I've been wanting to read this because, spoiler alert for the movie Tub, I watched Heathers the other day, which I'll talk about in the movie Tub, but it made me want to read this book because they have similar vibes. Like, they're both about a clique in, well, Heather's is about high school. This one's about college, so it's a little bit different. But it's like about this crazy clique that's like something weird is kind of going on within them. And the main character is this girl named Samantha, who's on the outside. Like, she's not part of the clique, but they are like trying to recruit her almost. And she's like, I don't think so. They're kind of weird. And like, I don't really want to be a part of that. But they're in her department at the school. Like, they're all in the same kind of department. It's a school that's really well known for writing. And it's like writing programs and poetry and all that kind of stuff. So that's a cool aspect as well. But yeah, so she's in this department where it's just her and these four girls. And they all call each other Bunny. And they're all really like cringy and just like strange. And so she's like, I don't want to be a part of it. But they're, you know, they're my my colleagues, so I kind of have to get along with them at the very least. And so she goes to the party that they invite her to, and then they like give her a lot of drinks, and kind of like she goes into this weird trance almost, and like some, it's super strange. And she like wakes up the next day and she's like, what the hell happened? Like, what was that? And then it just kind of like gets weirder and weirder from there. So I'm just over the halfway point now, and it is truly getting unhinged. Like, it's getting to a point where you're like, whoa, what is going on? And it's really interesting the way it's written. Like, sometimes the like the pronouns will kind of shift. Like, sometimes the main character will refer to herself as I, and sometimes it'll be we. And it's like it'll be like they're a collective we, kind of like We Ride Upon Styx by Quan Berry, which I read last year. That one, the whole book is written like you're reading from the perspective of an entire team of people at all times. And there are moments in this book that are just like that, and it's like, ooh, spooky. So I really like the way it's written. I find it very readable, and even when strange things happen, like, you kind of understand what's going on. It's not like a confusing kind of weird. So I'm really liking it. I think it's going to be great. It is like a horror book. I think yesterday when we talked about it, I was only 50 pages in, and I was like, I don't know if this is horror. There's definitely horror aspects.
Oh,
like, there's
been
some kind of gore already. And there's also like a spooky feeling. Like, you know, something is wrong and something bad is probably going to happen is kind of the vibe we have right now. So yeah, it's horror, but it's also like very like kind of shiny and beautiful, and everybody like wears pastel. So like, it's kind of like, you know, that mix of opposite feelings kind of. So it's like, oh, what's gonna happen? It doesn't feel outright scary. So it's, I feel like it's gonna creep up on me. But yeah, really loving it so far. And I'm sure I'll finish it by next week, because I'm really into it right now. And I've gotten into reading again. So I think it's gonna happen.
How many pages is it?
It's like exactly 300 pages.
Okay, yeah.
So
classic.
It's nice and short. Love that. Sweet. So I'm glad that we've both been reading. That's really cool. Classic question. Have you bought anything?
Yes.
Uh-oh. I haven't, so take it away.
Well, I didn't technically. I got a gift.
Okay.
Nice. I have one book to haul from a beautiful adventure. So I kind of wanted to go on it. I wanted to paint
take
a tale.
On a journey.
So, I really, obviously, want to explore the beautiful bookshops of Nova Scotia.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out about this bookshop called, oh God, what's it called? River LaHave, or the LaHave River Bookshop. I should be a better citizen and get it correctly. Hold on. It's got all of those words. What's the order?
Yeah.
Not sure. We're here so it is. Close. The LaHave River Bookshop, or LaHave River Books.
Okay.
And I've seen photos of this shop and stuff. It just looks so beautiful. It's like right on the water.
Ooh.
It's so, so stunning. And I was like, okay, I've got to check that out someday. So this weekend, Connor and I decided to head out and do like a little day trip in LaHave.
Mm.
When I say it was one of the loveliest days of my life, I truly mean it. It was so nice.
Aww.
It was just such a cute day. It really felt like the end of summer in like a sort of a bittersweet romantic way, where you're just like trying to capture the last days of warmth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's a really crafty town.
Oh, that's cool.
So there's all of these cute little shops and stuff. So anyway, we started off by going to the bookshop, and it is just so pretty. It's in this really cool building that's like a very old, very big building. And I'm going to text you some pictures right now, Raylene, because I specifically didn't message them to you over the weekend, because I was like,
you're holding
no, I've got to do
it.
I was withholding. And so it's in this really big old building. The back of it is the bookshop, and it's literally on the water.
Oh my
You're
goodness.
Like in the bookshop, looking out through the windows. You see boats. You see the ocean. And you're just like,
wow.
This is stunning. I will say it was a little bit bare. Like, it didn't have that many books and it didn't have that many new releases. It was kind of a mixture of new and used.
Yeah.
It was still really fun to walk around and to look at the books. And it's just the classic story of used bookstores. Sometimes you're there on the right week.
Mm-hmm.
A month later, all of the good stuff's gone. You just got to keep going back. But it was so beautiful. I'd be very happy to go back to that shop. I had a really lovely conversation with a lady who was working there that day. Mm-hmm. She was so nice. And so overall, I just had such a fun experience at this bookshop, and I'm really glad that I got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I got one book. So Connor actually bought it for me because it's my birthday month.
Ooh, so it's beginning already. Wow, look at you.
Well, it started on Friday. So my birthday for everyone is on September 27th, but the festivities began September 3rd because my dad was going to back to the north to do more flying.
Yeah.
And so he wanted to give me a present.
Aww.
In September, because he's not going to be here on my actual birthday. So he gave me these really beautiful washi tape holders.
Yes, I remember.
and a really cool mug candle thing. And so I was like really excited about that. And then I was like, well, I guess my birthday started. Let the festivities begin.
That's exciting.
And I keep saying to everyone in the house, I'm like, I can't believe that you guys have organized it so that I get a birthday present every day. That's so cool.
So thoughtful and well organized.
Yeah, you're so well planned. And Connor's like, mm-hmm.
That's what you get for starting it this early.
It's not my fault. So then when we were going to La Have, I was like, so I guess what you're going to do is buy me a book, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, yes.
You're milking it. I love that.
So I picked out this really pretty copy of
Ooh,
Great Expectations.
I love that.
Yeah, it's got the red dip papers on the top. Mm. And it's just a very old copy. Let's see when it's from. What do we got going on in here? It's illustrated as well, really, which is...
Oh, heck yeah.
Just so beautiful. Printed first... Okay, first published in 1860. Yep. Printed from the edition that was carefully corrected by the author in 1867 and 1868. But is this copy from then?
No, I don't think so.
I really don't think so. Well, I can't figure out exactly when it's from, but it's old and it's pretty. That's the most important
part.
It's in really good shape as well, which is awesome.
That's sweet.
So anyways, I got that, but there was two reasons why I got this specifically. One is I just don't own this. So I was like, oh yeah, this was a nice way to get it. But secondly, it had a sticker in it that Foyles used to do. My favorite
Whoa.
Bookshop in London. It has a Foyles
sticker.
Oh,
that's so cool.
And it has a newspaper clipping about Foyles.
Are you kidding
from,
me?
I think, something like the 50s.
Whoa.
And it has an inscription in the front that says, Janice Holbert from Alice, February 14th, 1955.
Ooh.
So Alice went to my favorite bookshop in 1955 and bought her friend this copy of Great Expectations. And now I have it.
That's really cool.
It was just too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was too cool. And this sticker, which I'll take a photo of for the Instagram, is genuinely one of the inspiration pictures that Coralie Bickford Smith used for our bookmarks. Yeah, because she was inspired by these old British book stickers.
Right.
And I was like, this is, it's just too much.
It's just everything.
So I got this book and mainly it was just a really lovely day. But they also, so like I said, it's this really big building. It's got kind of a couple of different things in it.
Mm-hmm.
It has a craft co-op. So just a lot of different makers from around here have stock there. And I picked up this really lovely, actually I bought this in the bookshop. It's like a lovely little card of the La Have General Store. I got this lovely stationery It just says, a little piece of Nova Scotia, set of four, assorted by Marnie. Who is Marnie? I don't know. But it's this lovely stationery that has pressed flowers. Oh my God. So pretty. And then I got this set of blank gift cards by Kat Frick Miller, which she did that book Ooh. That I read earlier this year, if I had a house on the East Coast. I know she lives in Dartmouth, but I didn't know, I guess she's from Le Havre. So she's moved to the big city, but she's originally from this little town that I was visiting.
That's cute.
And I actually have this in big hanging in my hallway.
Oh my goodness.
Because I think it's such a lovely drawing. And then when they, or art. And then when I found like it as cards, I was like, well, I'll grab those.
Of course.
What the hell? So then we went to the bakery that's in the same building. Ooh. It's like a cafe bakery. Oh, best mocha I've had in years.
Whoa, you love a mocha.
I love a mocha, but listen, most people don't know how to make them. Like, it's like they either are just making coffee and then they throw a scoop of chocolate in there and you can barely taste it.
Yeah.
Or they like use low quality bad chocolate and so it just kind of tastes like not very good. Mm-hmm. Like cheap hot chocolate, you know? Ew. It tastes like So it's very rare that you find... So I've actually kind of stopped ordering mochas because nobody makes them well. Yeah. Oh, it was so good. It was such a good mocha. But then we went to this pottery store. Oh my God, Raylene. When I tell you that I went crazy... I didn't go crazy. I bought a mug and two bowls. But this, they're all of the same designs. Mm. And they're made by this like husband-wife duo that work and live there in Le Havre.
Amazing.
Raylene. This is the coolest mug I think I own now.
I'm so excited to see it.
It is a handmade pottery one with these giant crows on
it. It's spooky. I love it.
It is a little spooky. And then, so the bowls are like with the ravens and crows throughout the inside.
Okay.
I am obsessed. I don't want to talk about how expensive they were. They were so expensive. But I was like, it's fine. I'm an adult. I can spend my money on bowls.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love this mug. I've already used it 5 times and I've had it for like 2 days. I just keep washing it and using it again. I'm obsessed with it. I think it's so beautiful.
Yeah, and there's something special about having like really cool, unique, handmade mugs. Like that's really cool. That makes me want to just like get rid of all of my old mugs and replace them with cool mugs like that.
Start over, damn it.
Yeah, I need to start fresh. My mug collection is not as cool as that mug.
That mug has set the bar extremely high. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then we went to a jewelry shop run by this lovely lady. Oh, we had the nicest conversation with her. She was so cool. She was an older woman. She was like the kind of person I hope I become. You know, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, but my life goal is to become like an old lady in a Ghibli movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And she had that vibe. Like, she lived by the coast, on the water, making jewelry. I was like, oh,
stuff.
You're incredible. She was so pretty, and she had like the coolest clothes. Mm-hmm. And she made all of this like beautiful jewelry. So Connor bought me a necklace. It's this little necklace here, and it's so beautiful. And she makes all of this silver jewelry, but she casts it around things she finds in nature.
Oh, cool.
So this was a little maple seed that she like wrapped silver around or melted it around or whatever. And she had, it was so beautiful. So I'm going to link to these shops in the show notes because, you know, you got to check it out. Cannot recommend Le Havre enough. I really loved it. And I hope I can go back soon because it was so freaking pretty. I was like, this is just too much.
Wow. You're making me so jealous. I want to go on like a shopping spree in a cute little town, but I have the opposite thing from you happening right now, which is that I'm doing no spend September. So I don't have freedom to just spend my money.
Yes.
Because the last few months have been very expensive, as you'd imagine, with a wedding and traveling.
Totally.
And so yeah, I decided no spend September was needed. So
smart move, smart move.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to make up for my insane bowl spending in October.
Right. The only thing I'll be spending money on this month is food and your birthday presents. So I hope you feel special.
I do. So Connor, while we were there, bought me the book and the necklace. Mm-hmm. So we're still on track for my birthday every day.
Wow.
Or birthday present every day. Although
you're gonna start getting really small gifts. He'll like give you a cup of tea and be like, this is your birthday present.
Yeah.
Here's this
a pack of gum on Wednesday.
I think you'd be scraping the bottom of the barrel by the time your birthday.
I would allow presents that are experience based.
Mm.
Like, let's go to the beach.
That's true. It's always a good gift.
Here's another shell.
I'll get you some rocks.
Before anyone lambasts me online, I don't actually expect or want gifts every day this month. It's a big joke. Okay.
Yeah, Ariel's a big jokester, if you could not tell.
They're all just jokes, man.
Well, we need some book news, I think. I think it's about time we got into book news. I'm really curious what you've got for us.
So, I do have book news. Let us begin with the Booker Prize.
Ooh.
So this is sort of funny because we just haven't done book news in so long that I keep writing things down and then erasing them as they become irrelevant.
Yeah.
And with the Booker Prize, the long list was announced, and that was big news. Mm-hmm. But now, literally tomorrow, the short list is announced. So the long list almost feels irrelevant at this point.
Yeah.
So I think actually I will just follow up next week with the short list. But just so everyone knows, the Booker Prize is happening. Next piece of news is about Rupee Kaur.
Mm.
What is it? I don't remember. I just wrote down Rupee
Kaur. She has a new book, right?
That's it. She has a new book.
Yeah.
Here it is. Here it is. So the book is called Healing Through Words. And I think what interested me, what excited me kind of about it is that it's not a poetry book.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so that's why I was sort of like, this is kind of interesting because obviously Rupee Kaur is the most popular poet of our moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting that she's coming out with a book that isn't a poetry collection.
Yeah.
It says, Rupee Kaur welcomes you into her world of writing and creativity through her fourth book. This collection of her curated, guided writing exercises encourages you to explore themes and so a creativity tool, pick up a pen, reflect. So it's more of a journal.
Okay.
It's like an activity book.
Yeah.
Filled with over 65 exercises. Hmm. It's very interesting.
That is very interesting.
It really makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Because so much of her poetry and her writing is kind of these explorations of healing and of vulnerability. And clearly so much of her audience has used her poetry in that way.
Yeah.
Like as a way to think about their lives and to process what they're going through and to feel empowered. And so for her to then come out with this book that's like, okay, here's your how-to guide.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, that makes a lot of sense.
That's a smart move.
Very interesting. So I thought that was interesting. I really buried the lead on this one. I'm just going through my little list here. This piece of news is enough to shock the masses.
Oh my God.
Okay, nobody's gonna care, but it is huge to me. I actually, I don't even know how to say it. I can't say it with enough gravitas, but here I go. Ballad for Sophie is being adapted into a TV series.
Holy shit.
Who called it, Raylene? Who freaking called it? Everyone was sleeping on Ballad for Sophie.
Like,
you're crazy, they said to me.
This is amazing, because I feel like if not for you randomly finding it in a bookstore and buying it and loving it, like, I would have never even heard of this book still.
It's true.
You know? So
it's true.
You're an influencer. You really are got something going there. That's crazy, though. Is there any more news about the show?
Yes, it says the production of the series will be done through IDW by Universal International Studios, which was responsible for the productions of The Umbrella Academy for Netflix, Homecoming for Amazon Prime, Queen of the South. So they've done a lot of really big things. Mm-hmm. So it does seem like it's going to be like a big budget, kind of a legitimate thing.
Totally.
Says, oh, this is interesting. Several critics have praised the book, including Rob Salkowitz, I don't know who that is, who wrote in Forbes that it was, quote, one of the most self-assured and satisfying books of the year, gloriously drawn and colored, full of twists and turns, authentic emotion, and peak craftsmanship.
Mm. That'll be really interesting to see that, Rob, as a show.
I know.
I'm really intrigued by that.
So now this is going to be something that we're going to have to track, because who's going to be cast?
Yeah.
Who's going to be directing? There's all sorts of stuff we don't know.
I really hope it's a cast of unknown people. That's my ideal something like this. I think that would be really cool. I don't know.
I kind of want the opposite. I want it to be like a huge, like, I just want this little graphic novel to like star Kate Blanchett.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, go
that
big.
That would be really cool too.
So The final piece of news that I have for us today, actually, because I want to end it here because I think this is hysterical, is not really news. Well, maybe it is news. It's the best Instagram account of all time.
Oh.
Pingu Random House.
I'm obsessed.
So somebody shared this on Instagram stories on my feed. I think it was Claire, but I'm not sure. And I just about lost it, and I sent it to you because I knew that, I knew you would love it, and then I knew you would lose it, and we both are just obsessed with how unbelievably good this account is.
It's incredible.
So, obviously, it's a play, a joke on Penguin Random House, and it's Pingu Random House. So Pingu, for those who might not know, because I'm realizing, I don't know where that
He's
show
pretty
is from.
Memeable now, though. Pingu is known on
TikTok.
Oh,
has he become a meme?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's,
very
I think,
interesting.
Where it came from. Like, that's why somebody decided to do this, because he's come back. But yeah, Pingu was when we were kids.
Yes. Yeah, it was huge when we were kids. It says it was originally produced from 1990 to 2000. Mm-hmm. So literally when we were children.
Yeah,
and it was later revived from 2003 to 2006. So yeah, it was around when we were kids. This was a really big show on TV.
Yeah.
It says that it's from Switzerland, which is very interesting. But basically, it's about these penguins. They can't talk, and they're made out of clay.
Yeah.
And it's like a really cool kind of animation style. But what this person who's doing the Instagram is, well, what they're doing is they're taking screenshots from the show, cropping them onto classic book covers.
Yeah.
And it's so, so funny. It's like pure gold.
It really
is. It's pure gold. They're... I'm just looking at some of these and I'm just like, they're crazy. And there's some contemporary books as well.
Yeah.
Like, did you see the one for Nightbitch?
Yes. Oh my God. I love that one.
Incredible. Incredible. But then there's like mainly their classics, like the Little Women one. Oh, it's so good. There's one for Little Life. There were just a penguin looking sad.
Yeah, I know. It's funny because looking at them, I'm like, I want to know the context of these Pingu episodes so badly. Like, I don't understand all of them and like why they happened. My favorite is The Exorcist. That one is just
I was
so
about
funny.
To say, I think that's my favorite one,
that's
where
my favorite,
the penguin's just kind of floating up off the couch and there's another penguin holding a baby penguin looking scared. And it's like, how
so
is
good.
It so perfect?
I don't know. I know. I'm like, why did that happen in Pingu? I don't understand.
It's so, so
it's
funny.
Fantastic. And I think they're accepting like submissions from people too. Like if you DM them an idea or maybe even send the image, like they're sharing ones that other people have made too. So, you know, it's a collaboration, which is really cool.
Oh, you're right. So they have a highlight on their Instagram that says how to make a Pingu Random House jacket.
Oh my gosh.
And it says, step one, find a Pingu post that resonates with your literary sensibilities. Number two, plug the title info into the Penguin Classics cover generator.
Oh, that's so cool.
It seems like somebody's made this little app, like it's like a website. Export cover never works for me, so I just scroll down and screenshot what's been generated, and then that's how they are making their thing. And it says, step three, if you like, you can DM me your Pengu Random House cover, and I can share with credit or anonymously. Newt.
Okay, I think this is going to be a new goal for me, is try and make one of these covers.
Yes, we should try and get on.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
Oh my god, we should totally try and get on. I think that'd be really funny. Cool. So there you go. I really wanted to share it because it was just delightful when I found it. Yeah. I was like, this is just utterly delightful. What a great thing. Whenever one shows up on my feed, I'm like, this is solid gold.
Yeah, it's so fantastic.
That is so fantastic. So that's my book news for this week.
Well, thank you for all the good wonderful stuff. Book news. I've been missing book news because I feel out of the loop. I don't know about anything. That's really good. Well, that brings us to the end of the episode, folks. Thank you so much for listening, as always. And we are now off to go record our bonus mini podcast, The Movie Tub, where we talk about what shows and movies we've been watching. And I've got kind of a lot this week, so.
Oh, really? I'm going to be talking about Bullet Train.
Oh, I'm so jealous that you watched that. I'm going to be talking about Heathers and also the docuseries on Netflix, Cheer.
That's right. You mentioned that you'd seen a docuseries.
Yes.
Okay, wow,
that's what I'll be talking about on The Tub this week. So we're off to go record that, and we will talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.